But over here, when Reverend finishes, you know, we leave.
Okay. Yeah. Because people around here get, they're on hyperbolic as well. It's fine. It's like 10 seconds.
What?
Okay. Anyway, we're talking about Hatzmana. Simen Reish Nun Zayin. You might have noticed, I don't know how many of you got to Reish Nun Ches yet. Well, let's assume none. But Reish Nun Ches, there's like a lot of things in the ACL say that aren't really directly relevant to this, just all kinds of interesting things, most of which we already touched on. Just a little bit about Hatzmana. That's why the stuff in our book is very short. But Reish Nun Zayin is the main thing. Okay, now I think we started discussing it once. We're not going to go back to everything, but basically I think the best way to organize the halachas of Hatmana is actually very similar to what we did with Shehiyah. Hatmana is asur unless you have one of a variety of cases which make Hatmana mutter. So what are all the circumstances under which Hatman is mutter? So we already started discussing last time in Sif Aleph, the main circumstance, which is found in the Mishnah, that makes Hatman a mutter, is, right, so what are these conditions? The first one, which the Mishnah tells us, is that you have Hatmana b'davar she'eino mosif hevel and miba'od yom. Right, so if you're matmin, eino mosif hevel alone is not a heter on Shabbos. Miba'od yom is not a heter mosif hevel. But eino mosif hevel Miba'od yom is mutter hatmana. And Miba'od yom includes even bein hashmashos, even though we discussed, we might not normally even make lam bein hashmashos for a series, because they were like this, because Stam Kadirus wrote close, we don't have a chash. Now where were we? Yeah. One second. Okay. There's a lot of details that need to be discussed. This is going to have the most details, but we'll come back to it. Leave a lot of room for details or computer, no problem. The second case, the second heter we found for Hatmana was in Seif Bet. Right, we're not going to chav to the rest of Seif Aleph now because we already discussed that. In Seif Bet, which we also discussed last time, we have the heter of the Ran, which is. Right, let's say better. If you cover something, the Ran says, with the intention of guarding it, protecting it, not the intention of insulating it, I mean, not guarding it against cold. That's called insulating. But if you cover something with the intention that you just want to protect it against dirt or etc., the Ran says that is... The Ran says that's mutter. And this is generally, you know, taken by the poskim very broadly. Whenever your kavana is not for insulation, but it's just coincidentally they're insulating, but you're really trying to accomplish something else, that is that's mutter. So, for example, well, we'll see in a moment. Rav Moshe says you're not allowed to wrap something in aluminum foil and put it, you know, like on someplace hot because the aluminum foil is going to be a hatmana, but if the purpose, let's say this is a big shayla that happens often. Someone wants to like take a piece of schnitzel and put a kedera gabi kedera. This happens all the time in my house. My son decides he doesn't want to eat anything, he just wants to eat schnitzel. And we have schnitzel left over from Friday night, but it's cold and he doesn't want to eat cold schnitzel. He also doesn't want to eat hot schnitzel. There's a lot of things he doesn't want to eat. But it's exactly right that he might do us the favor of thinking about eating it. So you could put a kedera gabi kedera, or maybe you could put it on a platter, or whatever, the mutter way to warm something up. But your temptation is to wrap it up in aluminum foil, and then it gets nice and hot. Right? But that's asur. That's hatmana. However, it depends why you're wrapping in aluminum foil. If it's a non-greasy schnitzel, Then you're not allowed to wrap it in aluminum foil. Because why are you wrapping it in aluminum foil? Just in order to make it hotter, right? It keeps the heat in. That's hatsmana. But if it's a very greasy schnitzel and you have to wrap it in aluminum foil, because otherwise it'll leak all over the place and make a mess, even though it's not to be shown where the food is, to be shown where everything else is around, if you're wrapping it for a different reason and it just happens to also have the advantage of hatsmana, then that's mutter. So my schnitzel is not very greasy, it doesn't make a mess, and I just put silver foil underneath and put the schnitzel on it, it takes longer to warm up. But what can you do? But if it was a very messy thing and you needed to cover it with aluminum foil just to keep things clean, then that would be mutter. Similarly, they discuss, like, if you put, you know, the potato foil on the cholent and wrap it in aluminum foil, that's not to make it hotter. It would keep just as warm whether it's wrapped in aluminum foil or not. That is to keep it from dissolving, from melting in. Or v'chuli, as long as there's an ulterior motive, it's not hatmana.
You don't like putting, like, schnitzel down, food down on, like, outside of packs and stuff. It's like, it might be dirty or whatever. So is that also a legitimate reason to protect the food?
To keep it clean. Yeah, the question is, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to cover it on top.
It'll fall.
What?
You're afraid it'll fall.
If it's legitimate, it's legitimate. You know, you're not a fool Hashem, but...
Why is it?
Because they were only gozer in this case when your intention is for hatmana. When your intention isn't for hatmana, they weren't gozer. Meaning it's that a fundamental limitation in the gzeira. It's not a heter ein miskav. It's that this is not within the gzeira in the first place. How does the Ran know that? How does the Ran know that it's not within the gzeira? Maybe the gzeira in the first place was any time you insulate. So the Ran brings a right, yeah?
So like on Friday night, though, if you bring the chicken away in the fridge or something and you want to... That's not an issue to wrap it up and then put it in the fridge and then put it back on top of the oven the next day.
And you should take it out of the fridge.
So that's a very interesting question. So let's come back to that in a minute. It's going to be a little controversial, I think, although we can diet and see what we come up with. But he gets an example. It's interesting. His example, the Lashon of the Ran, quoting the Beis Yosef, is, after all, everyone knows you're allowed to put the pot cover on, and that's not hatmana. So that shows not everything is hatmana, only things specifically done with intention of hatmana. Now, this just brings up another interesting case. The Ran says that what's my precedent? Putting the cover on the pot. Now, what does he mean by this? What if you're putting the cover on the pot with intention to be matan? So, not so mafurish in the Ran exactly what he's trying to say, but the consensus of the postim seems to be the cover of the kli itself, right? Let's say even better. The kli itself, including its cover, is not considered hatmana. Rav Moshe explains, this is in Igros Moshe or Chaim Chiluk Aleph Sim Tzadi Hei, I think someplace on Makoros, not Xerox, but just the Mar Makom. Oh, sorry. Simon, yeah. That's where it is. Rav Moshe explains that the pot cover is always considered, regardless of like what you're thinking right now, the pot cover is always considered like a normal thing to do that's not for hatmana. So therefore, even if your intention of putting the pot cover on is to keep the heat in, we define putting the pot cover on as just a normal way of storing the food. And therefore, that's not considered hatmana. Okay, now Rav Moshe is not the only one who says this. The Chazon Ish says the Isser of Hatmana is being matmin the pot in something else. The pot itself is not considered Hatmana. So the Shabbos Kitchen quotes another Shut, who I'm not familiar with, Master Leo, says the same thing. Okay, Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish are pretty good. The controversial part, the controversial issue, which the Shabbos Kitchen has a big problem with Rav Moshe on, is what about aluminum foil? What about aluminum foil? So the Igros Moshe was asked about this here, Hatmana, it's on the sheet Gimel. Is it mutter wrapping in aluminum foil and then put it Kedera Gavi Kedera? So he says that no, it's considered Hatmana of most of Hevel. We'll see why in a little while. And lekorchem b'nir aluminum nami hu hatmana. Aluminum foil is also hatmana. Rav Simcha Bodem Kohn in the Shabbos Kitchen, in the Shabbos kitchen says no. Wrapping in aluminum foil, he even says Ramoshi doesn't mean it. He says, wrapping in one layer of aluminum foil, that's the kli. Everything needs to be covered. You don't just throw food around, stop. So, if you're talking about aluminum foil, then Rav Cohen, the Shabbos kitchen, says one layer of aluminum foil is mutter, because one layer of aluminum foil is just a normal way. That might not be the normal way to like wrap this certain type of thing. I mean, if you have something you never wrap in aluminum foil, then I don't know what he'd say. But assuming there are things that you normally wrap in aluminum foil, so one layer of aluminum foil is like the pot. It doesn't matter what your intention is. You're always on a wrap in one layer of aluminum foil, because that's just mufka from hatmana. Again, either the Chazon Ish says, just not called, the kli itself is not called hatmana, or most it's a little more complex, the kli itself is considered not for the purpose of hatmana. But basically, the kli itself is not hatmana. Rav Simcha Ben Cohen seems to say that one layer of aluminum foil is definitely mutter, and maybe Rav Moshe is only talking about a double layer of aluminum foil. Not so pasha, the shot of the Igros Moshe seems to be that aluminum foil is usher. Why would aluminum foil be usher? Because it's not really the lechora, I think, what he would say is it's not really the kli of this food. It's just a wrapping you put on to warm it up. It's not really the kli of this food. So that's a little, I mean, again, the Lashon of Ramosha sounds to me like even one layer of aluminum foil he's ushering. Because that's not the real kli of this food. That's just a way to warm it up. The simple but couldn't know. The one wrapping around anything is automatically mutter. Nothing's talked about. Because one wrapping is automatically mutter. Okay, and I'm sort of a little unclear. It seems that, you know, there might be a difference between if you have things, let's say you have, you know, sometimes you have chicken in a pan, and it's an aluminum pan covered by aluminum foil, and that really is just the normal pan of that thing, then that, I think, maybe for most it would be molded as mutter. But if you just take a piece of schnitzel and wrap it in aluminum foil, and you know, take a piece of schnitzel out of the pan, wrap it in aluminum foil, and stick it on the platter on top of the urn or something, then Rav Simcha Ben Cohen would say it's okay, and he would interpret, he thinks that the poskim would agree this way, although no one discussed it beferish. But I'm not so convinced that if you're really just putting on one layer of aluminum foil to heat it up, I'm not so convinced that's okay. That's not a real plea. But if it's like an aluminum foil covered pan, which is a real way that you always store this thing, then I think he's right that everyone would be molded, that's mutter.
And if it's wrapped in the aluminum foil before Shabbos, is anyone heated in the aluminum foil on Shabbos?
Or, right, because what if you always keep wrapped schnitzel in aluminum foil? Right, that's how you keep your schnitzel.
Or Friday night, that's what? How you put it in after,
yeah, like one leftover,
after the meal, Friday night.
You have one leftover, you don't bother a pan, you just wrap in aluminum foil. So,
saying when you take it out of the fridge and put it on the fire, is that hatmana right then, or is it...
Right, so
this is already mutmon.
You wrapped it for not for hatmana purposes. Right. You wrapped it,
but when you,
you originally
it,
wrapped it not for hatmana purposes. You originally wrapped it just for cleanliness purposes. So that's does he discuss this?
I don't know if he does.
Let's see if he has a throw on this.
If you did it before.
No, but when you put it on the fire. Right now, whether you had done it already or not. But
that's manas.
But I didn't wrap it for it. I wrapped it for sugar.
You're saying this would even be matter as one of the most successful.
Yeah. Not. I don't know if he discusses this.
But still on the fire. Right?
Yeah. I don't think he discusses this. He discusses this explicitly. What's the Rosh's Lashon? Han mutter likroch b'shabas d'vargush b'vushal tzonei b'nir aluminu l'chamo b'hefzik k'deira. Yeah, it could be that even Ramoshi was talking about when you wrap it specifically for the purpose of Atman in this aluminum foil. If you keep it in this aluminum foil just stam, then maybe Taka Ramoshi would be mutter. Might be a good pshara, would be mode. Maybe Rav Moshe would be mode if you had the aluminum foil for totally different reasons, and now it's also a good way of hatmana, but that's the way you always kept it. Maybe it'd only be machmir if you wrapped it specifically for hatmana purposes. Even though he holds, you can put the pot cover on just to keep it warm, but that's mamish the kli. Aluminum foil, he definitely says you can't do just to keep it warm.
My question is a little different. At what point is it considered hatmana?
When you put it on something hot.
Okay, so if I'm saying if somebody's doing this with the intention that they want it to warm up better tomorrow and they do it on Friday, but it doesn't, right now it's not even hot, they know that they're going to warm it up tomorrow.
No, that in and of itself, meaning whether you wrap it first or put it someplace hot first, makes no difference. So, I'm a little misupic about wrapping an aluminum foil to keep it hot.
What would Shamsky just say? Let's say you had some other substance to wrap it with. And
doesn't matter. One wrapping, he says,
is
mukta.
You could wrap it with the substance, but you instead of using...
Doesn't matter. The one thing you wrap it in is a freebie.
Even if the only reason you do it that way is...
Correct. He says the one thing you wrap it in is a freebie. I'm not 100% convinced that the one thing you wrap it in is a freebie. But that's what he poskens. Well, I can't. You know, certainly, he's certainly more bar samcha than I am. But I'm not 100% convinced that anything you wrap it in is a freebie. Especially if it's a thing that you can't say. And that's where Moshe's heter was. If you wrap it in the pot, that's a freebie. Because the pot is just the normal way that you keep this in for many different reasons. So it doesn't matter why you keep it in the pot. The pot is something where you always keep it in. But if you have something which you don't normally put it in this aluminum foil, you're only doing it for the sake of keeping it warm, I'm not convinced. But Rav Simcha Ben Cohen is.
So an aluminum pan, you're saying, with an aluminum cover, that's considered...
Yeah, that I think everyone would be moda, because that's the normal kli for these things. So that I think everyone would be moda.
Issue supposed to be an outgrowth of Aron's heter?
No, it's not directly an outgrowth. Well, you see, this is the tricky part. This may or may not be similar to the Aron's heter, or if Moshe sees this as similar to the Aron's heter, he says, just like the Aron says, if you have an ulterior motive, it's mutter. The pot, we always consider an ulterior motive, and we don't even ask you what you think. So the Rav Moshe views 2 and 3 as the same. The Chazon Ish doesn't. The Chazon Ish seems to say that just the Ikaron, they were only gozer and putting the kli inside something else, not the kli itself. It could be that this Rav Simcha Ben Cohen depends on our Moshe versus the Chazon Ish. According to the Chazon Ish, maybe you could say one wrapping of aluminum foil is the kli itself, is mufka from Atmana. According to Rav Moshe, you'd say, no, if this is the kind of thing people only do for Atmana, or usually do for Atmana, then maybe you can't be Mako.
I mean, unless you could, I mean, putting a metal in an aluminum foil might be the normal way to do it if you have one piece. Like, you might not want to use a whole pot. Like,
right, is that might be how everyone stores aluminum foil, how everyone stores schnitzel. If they have one piece.
Right, it just becomes very subjective. Like, some people like to avoid using a pot when it's one thing to use to wash more dishes, and like it just becomes very unclear.
Right, right. It, you know, it could be that again, in the case where Moshe is talking about, where you take it out of the pan and wrap it in aluminum foil just to heat it up on the plata, makes me a little nervous. But in any other case, you know, if that's really how you keep it for other reasons, then maybe it would be mutter. Okay, I think that's where we're up to. We're up to Sif Gimel. So, so far we have 3, 2, 3 Aterim, the basic Heter, Animals of Hebel Miod Yom, which has a lot of details which we'll have to go into. Here we'll give a little Sif numbers. Aleph, Bez, doesn't really come directly out of anything, Star, although it might relate to something mentioned in Bez. Sif Gimel gives us some details of Animals of Hebel. Elohim Dvarim Hamosif and Hevel. And again, it's not so totally Lamaisa, because we don't have any of these Dvarim now. I don't mean we don't use any of these Dvarim nowadays. But Elohim Dvarim Hamosif and Hevel. What are the Dvarim Hamosif and Hevel? So he says, Sola Shel Zesim, O Shel Shumshimin, V'Zevel, U'Melach, V'Sid, V'Chol, Bein Lachem, and Yveshin. So certain things, whether moist or dry. Right, the leftover squeezed olives or sesames and dung and salt and lime and sand, whether moist or dry or most of hevel. The tevin, the zagin, and muchim, asav, mizman, shushlosh, damachin, and straw, and grape skins, and little pieces of wool, and grass. But these three, only if they're moist. And the three is a bit of just a mistake. It's a quote of the Rambam who only listed three. And we... The Shemachaber was more thorough and listed four. He means Lantafka three. He means four. These four are different because only if they're lach, they're most of hevel. If they're yavesh, they are they're not most of hevel. The elu dvarim she'enu mosif in hevel, and these are things that are not most of hevel. Haksus, vuperos, vekanfayona, right, clothing and fruits and vegetables or grains or whatever, and feathers of a dove of Sharnotos or any other feathers, and the leftover beaten pieces that you comb out of the flax and sawdust. And then the Rambam has a different piece. So, this is like a little unclear. I'm not such a bucky in the science of this, but apparently, we'll have to see. We'll have to be magder exactly what it means most of hevel and what it means low most of hevel. It's not going to be pashut at all. But there are some things that have some chemical process going on in them which causes them to produce heat. All the things above here have some chemical process which cause them to produce heat. Now again, I'm not a chemist. I can't explain this to you. Perhaps a chemist can. But they have either some of them, I think there are two different chemical processes. Some of these have a process of decay which produces heat. People do this sometimes. They make, what do? They make mulch or something and it produces heat. You can make out of like household waste, like especially out of zevel and stuff. You can actually make this type of fertilizer. You put it all together, it like just gets hotter and hotter and hotter and turns into different chemicals, and then it's very useful chemicals for fertilizing and other things. So, what? I think you can also make bombs out of it, correct. So, some of these produce heat through a process of decay, which produces heat by breaking certain chemical bonds. Other of these things produce heat because they emit certain gases or such. They can have a chemical reaction that can produce heat. Not that they themselves decay, but they create certain gases. But Lamaisa, I don't understand the chemics of it, the chemistry of it, but all of these things produce heat. So, okay, Lamaisa, we don't have any of these things anyway, so it doesn't make, we don't use any of these things anyway. Basically, we're not Machmin in anything that produces heat through any funny chemical process. We're Machmin basically either in things that don't produce heat, like sus, I mean, we do that all the time, or in like heat, fire, mamish, like you can be Machmin in coals. But we don't really have these things. But nonetheless, there's a few important points which are worth mentioning about this, some of which I'm still a little confused about, which I'll have to get back to. First of all, there's an interesting Bir Halacha, according to Tosefes Shabbos in Sif Vav, who doesn't go through all of them, but the Bir Halacha in Sif Vav, Dibur HaMaschil, Aval, quotes to Tosefes Shabbos that some of these things on the list, he mentions specifically sand, coal, only produces heat if you give it heat to start the reaction. So he says, for example, coal, if you take a hot kedera and put it in coal, that heat will start the chain reaction in the coal, which will then produce more heat. But the coal sitting by itself, right, we all know, we have a sandbox, the sandbox doesn't just get hot. Right? So he doesn't say exactly what is like coal, what is unlike coal, but my assumption is that some of the things in this list, I don't know which, you have to ask a chemist, are like coal. Maybe you need heat to kickstart the chain reaction, and then it'll produce more heat. And some of them are not like coal. Some of them produce heat just mamish in and of themselves by a natural process. I don't know which are which. Halacha l'maisa, if we ever wanted to use these, we might have to investigate which of these things produce heat only if you give them heat to start with. But if you put something cold inside them, would be fine. And which of these produce heat all the time regardless? That would be enough meal. Let's say I want to put a cold thing in, you know, Sola Shalzaisim. I'd have to figure out whether that produces heat always or only if you kickstart the reaction. And I don't know what the answer to that is.
Why would you do it if you're not?
What?
Why would you do it if you don't want to warm it up by the heat that you're not?
That's an excellent question, and we'll get to that. Okay. A few other details here. So the Ramos is at the end. When it comes to inamos of hevel, we have a list of different things, which again not so dear to us. We have the issue of chol, which is only if you jump start it, it produces heat. Meaning, not everything produces heat on itself. Some then need to be jump started, and then we have the very interesting Psak of the Maharshal, which we'll have to get back to. It's worth mentioning now at the end of the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Chavdali, quotes from the Shut of the Maharshal. Efer Cham, who darish einamos of hevel v'shari litmon bo. Efer Cham is einamos of hevel and is mutter to be tomein in it. Now, why is Efer Cham einamos of hevel? If I take a pot and put it into what's it, hot ashes, what will the hot ashes do to the pot? They'll make it hotter, right? They'll add heat. So, why is Efer Cham einamos of hevel? Because what does most of hevel mean? This is actually a bit of a machlokas. What does it mean, mosif hevel?
It's getting hotter.
Right. Mosif hevel. Does mosif hevel mean it makes your food hotter? In which case, anything hotter than your food can make your food hotter. Or does mosif hevel means it gets hotter in and of itself? That actually seems to be machlokas between the Machaber and the Taz and Simon Reish and Ches, but the Marshal Paskins here, we'll come back to it, we'll summarize all this. He says, hot ashes is considered animals of hevel with shorty lit mon bow, elm came over b'cholim, unless, of course, it has coals in it. Obviously, if it has coals in it, that's a different story. Coals are on fire. But, and behemi yuhu, el yo rabbits, and shav shavish, and achronim, meaning this, all the achronim paskins, but who are them, chol dovish, animals of hevel, a filo in common shari. Anything, even a very hot item, if it's not creating new heat, if it's not most of hevel, it is mutter. So you can insulate, obviously we're talking about the air of Shabbos, right? You can insulate in a hot item, even if it's very hot, it will keep your food hot, as long as it's not adding heat to itself, but it's just losing heat, that's okay. So I can, for example, I can, you know, take blankets and put them on the radiator until they get very hot. Again, I'm not sure if you put on too long, they might burn, I don't know. But let's say I can take blankets, put them on the radiator until they get very hot and insulate on them on Friday afternoon. Even if they're very hot, even if they're much hotter than my food, that's okay, because they're not adding heat, they're just gradually losing heat, because there's no chemical reaction inside them which causes more heat. If there's no chemical reaction which causes more heat, then even if they're a million degrees, they're not adding heat, they're just losing that million degrees. So that's important to talk to the Marshal. We'll see, this will be controversial, we'll have to come back to this, but at the very least, so far we have the Marshal, which says the Marshal says hot things are mutter if they don't get hotter. So even a hot thing, which might be most of hevel to your food, is okay if it's not most of hevel in and of itself. There's one other case which we'll have to come back to. There's one other case which we'll come back to in the Shabur here, the case of like mounting something and putting it on. I should just mention briefly, right, we'll come back to this as well. These are two things we'll have to come back to. In Sif Ches, the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Yud Gimel, which is quoting the Magen Avraham, no, the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Tesvav, which is really quoting the Mefurash Gemara. The Gemara says that you can't take something and wrap it in a non-heat-adding substance and then put it on top of a basket of olive skins. Right, so let's say here's my food, and here is my non-mosif hevel insulation, and here is my soles shel zeisim, which is mosif hevel. This is aser. Then we'll have to see what the lundus of that is. But this is also because lamaisa, even though it's really wrapped in non-mosif hevel, it's not even touching this psoles shel zeisim, but the psoles shel zeisim adds hevel, which goes through into the food. So lamaisa, it's wrapped in something which, the big picture, is mosif hevel. So it's wrapped in something which, in the big picture, is mosif hevel, and therefore, that's still aser. So this is very important. This will be very important on lamaisa, right? This is the question. Putting this, what are they called? The sleeves on the urn. What do they call those things?
Covers,
whatever they call them, right? You know, the fancy little dresses that your urn wears. So that's ksus, that's ainu mosif hevel. But lav dafka that it's mutter, this will be the nidon of all of Sif Ches. Lav dafka that it's mutter, if it's on top of the heat source, then since this is mosif hevel, the whole picture becomes us. And what Mishnah Berurah points out here, this is really Sif Ches. What he points out here is that, right, we should have one more detail in the rules of mosif hevel, which is that eino mosif hevel on top of mosif hevel is aser, but only if it's a super mosif hevel. What does that mean? The Mishnah Berurah says the difference between psoles shel zeisim and psoles shel shomshim. And he's not making up any of this. It's all straight out of the Gemara on Daf Mem Zayin. Amid Beis, right, the very, very beginning of the Perek by Metonin, he says some things are mosif hevel enough, like psoles shel zeisim, that they'll, even if you're wrapped on top of other things, get the hevel in. Other things, like psoles shel shumshimin, if you're wrapped in psoles shel shumshimin, it'll be mosif hevel. But it's not mosif hevel enough to get that hevel through the other things, if you're wrapped in clothing and put wrapped in cloths and put on top of psula shel shumshin. So basically what the Mishnah Berurah says, ain't a Mosav Hevel on top of Mosav Hevel. Is Osir? Ain't a Mosav Hevel on top of Mosav Hevel is
Osir.
Is Mosav Hevel.
No,
that's on the bottom. Psula shel zaysim, Mosav Hevel. This is the bottom, right? This way is bottom.
Oh, it's on the bottom.
Right, again. I take, this is my food. You know, I wrap it in just clothing, stam, which is Eino Mosav Hevel. And I put it on top of this Psula shel zaysim, like this. So that's Usher, because through the Psula shel zaysim, it's all Mosav Hevel. But that's only because Psula shel zaysim is a really good Hevel source. If it would be Psula shel shumshin, even though in and of itself is Mosav Hevel, not Mosav Hevel enough to get through the cloak. And that would be mutter.
Isn't that the exact case of the schnitzel, taking it out and putting it on the hot plate?
Yeah, that's exactly why putting the schnitzel on the hot plate is going to be usher unless you have heter 3.
Forget about the fact that the tinfoil is an issue, or the aluminum foil. Now you have an issue of this. Even if you're assuming that the aluminum foil wasn't an issue of atzmana, now you have another issue that makes it for sure a problem now. So why are we...
No, because if the aluminum foil is mutter, then it's mutter.
It's not atzmana.
The aluminum foil is mufka from Atmana, so the whole thing is mufka from Atmana.
Even though you're putting it on something,
yeah.
I just wouldn't call it
mufka. Yeah, no, I think that's, I think that we can agree with.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That might depend on some lumdus that we'll get to, but okay. So much for almost all of Sif Gimel, but at the very end, the Ramah brings down one other halacha, which is a fourth heter, which is not... I don't know how nogay it is, but yesh omer de mutl hapnen bislotin afal pish mosif in hevel de mosl shrich lo gaz verabon on rocks. Rocks are mosif hevel. Now again, I'm not sure this is true of all rocks. I think there are different kinds of rocks, perhaps.
There are certain rocks. Avonim tanim shemotim mehem eish.
Yeah. They're like flintstones, meaning the kind of rocks which if you rubbed would like create fire, I guess. I don't know. Again, I'm not a chemist. I don't understand exactly how these things work. But you have a certain kind of rock that is mosif hevel. So it's mutter to be tumin in those slaim. I mean, the Ramah is the Yeshomer, but it's the only Yeshomer. So why? Because the milsa d'lo shchicha. So he says here, another hefer is milsa d'lo shchicha. Anything uncommon. Now this would seem like it's a tremendous hefer, like let's have a party. Right? The Ramah just says, any milsa d'lo shchicha you can be tumin in. So if I want to be matmin in Dabar Moshe Hevel Mimod Yom, just find something really weird that no one else thought of being matmin in before, and it's fine. Except, that's not what the Achronim say. The Mishnah Berurah here quotes, that he doesn't mean anything which you don't usually use for Hatmana is mutter because most of those should come. No. That's not the way Halacha works. When Chazal make a rule, that rule applies even if you decide to have a different example. Because all the examples are around the same thing. What it means here is the Milsa Lo Shchicha because these rocks break the Kedera. I assume they're talking about Kederas of pottery. Which, you know, could be, you know, maybe the stones or the heat or something would be problematic for them. These stones are very, you know, no one would ever want to use them because they damage the pot. Therefore, it's not just a milsa lo shchicha, like, you thought of a new example, you thought of a new material. No, it's a milsa lo shchicha because it has a downside which would make everyone unwilling to do it. So, that he restricts the heter. Only... If it's low shchicha because of a downside. Right? Only if the reason low shchicha is because there's something wrong with it, then they weren't gozer. But if the reason low shchicha is because basically the same thing your neighbor's doing, you just thought of a new example of a new material. That's considered shchicha, because it's all one big category. It's only a little shchicha if it's a new category, because no one else, and people think you're crazy for doing this, because it has some sort of cost or damage.
So how do you take this,
like,
let's say you
want to
use a shirt, and it's going to get dirty. So that's a downside now. Does that count?
I mean, there might be, even though here we're talking about the kedera breaking, they were talking about the shirt breaking, but you can almost do the same thing. That might depend on, like, dirty versus burnt. You know, maybe if it would get ruined, then maybe that would be also a shakily when it goes or both. I'm not sure it would be worth it.
Right,
but that's up to you.
Just to make it dirty and it costs you dry cleaning, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. Maybe. Maybe it depends if you dry clean your shirts or put them in the washing machine. You know, I put them in the washing machine. It's not really a big deal. All right, start again.
I mean, the fact that it has to get ruined or have some actual downside seems to be part of it, because the Mishnah Berurah doesn't necessarily sound like that when he says it.
No, because what does he contrast it?
He explains why it's lo shchicha bekal, but then he does say that avol dovish lefamim tom lehem, that's when there goes it.
Don't lo shchiach klal.
Never goes it.
And as he's saying, it's just the hechikin of lo shchiach klal.
You found something wacky, you know, totally weird that nobody ever did before, but it wasn't.
He's not saying it has to have a downside. That's just the hechikin of lo shchiach klal. But if it's lo shchiach so much, then it would be mutter. Okay. You know what? I think you're right. Milsa's lo shchicha. So let's just say milsa's lo shchicha. Wow. Something is not shchicha at all, even if it's not because of a downside. You're right. Even if it's just lo shchicha at all because of some other reason, as long as it has to be not just uncommon, but like, you know, what's more than uncommon?
Never been done before.
Right? Unheard of. Not just uncommon, but unheard of. If it's unheard of, then that would be mutter.
So something that wasn't really in Chazal?
No, it doesn't matter. If nowadays some people might sometimes do it, that's still Shriach Klav. Okay. Because Chazal just gave examples. They didn't make the Gzera on certain things. We just assume that they made the Gzera on Shriach things in their days, and who had the Shriach things in any days. Now, Sif Dalid. Sif Dalid goes back to the heter of Litmon Ba'od Mi Ba'od Yom B'davar She'ena Mosif Hefa. So Sif Dalid tells us, not only are you allowed to be Tomatmin Mi Ba'od Yom B'davar She'ena you're even allowed to do kiva like hachzara, uncover it and re-tomein it on Shabbos. Afal pi, this is straight out of the Gemara, more or less. Afal pi she'ein tomein b'Shabbos v'yil b'davar she'ein mosif hevel. The Shulchan Aruch says in Dalit, im toman bo mi ba'od yom v'nis gal v'shechashecha motor lachzor ulecha soso. If you were tomein b'od yom and it became uncovered, you're allowed to recover it. So you're allowed to re-insulate on Shabbos. This is a Mefurish Mishnah on Daf Nun Aleph.
The Rambam's Mahalach and the references of how they read the Mishnah, the whole reason, the problem with the Rambam's Hevel is that you're going to uncover the food we're going to have, then you're going to cover and recover. So are they being calling on this, or are they just being Mahalach and the Mosef Hevel and the Mosef Hevel?
If you say, again, Davar HaMosif Hevel, that it might get too hot, you'll uncover it, and you recover it. So what's the problem of...
If they make it sound like recover, it's going to be the issue.
But what happened to Kisov Venis Gala Motor Lechaso? So, you might... Right, so it might be that they would have to argue with Tosfos. Chamin shadu v'nisgal v'shav motor lechosol son, motor lehachlif. So the Rambam, the Rambam would say that this mission is only talking about, even though it's not so clear what the logic is, this mission is only talking about Davar She'ena Mosif Hevel. The Rambam's chash in Davar Mosif Hevel. So Davar Mosif Hevel is usher even to re-insulate when it was insulated once. But Davar She'ena Mosif Hevel, you're allowed to re-insulate as long as it was insulated previously. Now you can ask why. Meaning, what's worse about Davar HaMosif Hevel, that you can't re-insulate it if it was insulated once? So the answer might be, I guess if this is all one big Zerah Shem Yatin Beremetz, since Mosif Hevel is much more similar to Remetz, maybe we're more machber on it. Jonathan?
It makes sense that
makes sense that there's more chashash, but you're mostly pedal on Shabbos, and probably going to be on the pedal, so it's rewrapping.
Right. Tomein, mi ba'od yom, v'davar, she'ena mosif hevel. Then you're allowed to re-insulate on Shabbos, and, which is, Tosfos points out, the Rush points out that it's pretty clear, even though this is not the exact case. Mish says if it got uncovered, you're allowed to recover it. But even if you uncovered it intentionally, right, not only if it accidentally became uncovered, you could recover. Even if you purposely uncovered it, right, you have the pizza, it's in that, like, pizza thing. What do they call those things? Those insulated boxes. Right, and you're saving it for Shabbos meal, so you unwrap it and open it up on purpose to eat half the pizza. You can put the other half back and re-zip it up again, because it's still a continuation of your, just like, parallel to Chazara. Not halakhically related, just parallel. It's still a continuation of your original Atmana, so you're not considered to be Tomein b'Shabbos b'Davar She'ena Mosif Hevel. You're just considered to be continuing your Atmana Me'er of Shabbos b'Davar She'ena Mosif Hevel, and that's Mutter. It's not before in the Mishnah, but Tosfos says it, and the Rush says it, and pretty much everyone agrees. The Beis Yosef wants the... Right, the Beis Yosef said that the Rush thought Tosfos didn't say it, but Lamaisa, pretty much everyone agrees. The Machlok is going to be a little later. The Chayn, and wrote to the host of all of the Shabbos Mosif, and A, you're allowed to open and re-insulate. B, you're allowed to add insulation. That's not considered Tomein b'Shabbos. If it was already Tomein Yod Yom, you're allowed to add insulation. It would have one blanket over Yod Yom. You can add another blanket on Shabbos, and that's fine.
Obviously, it's not the same thing as Chazara, like you said, but is there any relationship, like, you have to show your continuation, like, Daito L'Hachzer?
No, you see, that's the thing. You don't need Daito L'Hachzer, and that's why it's not halakhically the same. You don't need Odo B'Yod, you don't need Daito L'Hachzer, and there's certainly not a problem if it's Pinam Meichel Meichel. So, as the Rishonim pointed out. So it's not, it's just a parallel, but you don't need all these conditions. It's not as chomer. V'chein imrotze, and that's also, that's mafurish in the Mishnah. V'chein imrotze lit lo kulo. V'lo says acher b'mkomo, bein shah Rishon cham yosem yasheni, bein shasheni cham yosem yarishon. Afil lo yom chuse el besadin, yach lit lo lachasos b'glup karin. So, likewise, you can switch. Not only can you open it and recover it, not only can you add, you can also switch insulations, whether from thick insulation to thin, from thin to thick, even if it was originally only wrapped in a sheet, which you might consider, that's not insulation, it's just a sheet. That's considered insulation. You can take out the sheet and put on a big down quilt. That's all mutter. This is not universal. Not everyone agrees to this. This is what Rav Shimon Gamliel says in the Mishnah right here on Daf. In the Brisa, Rashbag Omer Notos Hasdin Miach Glupkarin or Notos Haglupkarin Miach Hasdinim. So some people say that's only Rav Shimon Gamliel and. We hold that's Aser, we hold you're not allowed to switch, that's Tosos, that's Makim, that's Mag, but all the other Rishonim say that no, that's Rishon Gamliel, just, what is Lashon he uses in Nafshon Aleph and Aleph? He doesn't use the law. Kate said, oh, set, Rishon Gamliel Omer, meaning he's just explaining how was this halacha that everyone agrees to work. Rishon Gamliel gives an example, but we paskin that even though, again, Tosos, that's Mag, and that's Mag say that's the sheet of Yachin and the Tanayim. We paskin, no, that's the sheet of all the Tanayim. And Rashbag was just giving an example, and we pass in your allowed to switch. Basically, once it's insulated from Erev Shabbos, whether you open, close, switch, add, subtract, that's all
about it. Why don't we have Rashi's concern on Lamed Aleph that if you're switching something, so there's going to be a period of time now it's going to not be insulated, it's going to cool off, and then you might heat it back up, so you're going to insulate it again. And Rashi's concern on Lamed Aleph, Shemir, Shemir, Tia.
Why don't we have Rashi's concern on Daf Lamed Aleph? That, which is like almost, well, that's what we possibly like Rashi's concern, right? That it's Shemi Artiach is for, so why aren't we afraid that if you took it out of the insulation, it might cool off, and you'll put it back, so the only thing I could think, What?
Just the material is probably different here. It's generally, you can do it in a pretty quick fashion. Rashi's talking about where...
Right, but lav dafka in a quick fashion. I was thinking in a different direction. That Rashi's main concern was if you took it off the stove and you were matmin it on Shabbos, then you might expect it to be very hot. But if you take it out of the hot tomorrow, no, you might still expect it to be hot. So why weren't they gozer? You'll take it out of the insulation. You'll find it's cold when you're about to put it into the new insulation. I'm not sure. I don't have a... I'm not sure. We'll have to figure that out. Okay. The one last detail here, which is not mefurish here, but it's not explicit, but it's clear what the Mechaber is trying to tell us, is that if you go back to the beginning of Dalit, he says, "Afi she'ein tom ne b'shabes field darsh in emos of hevel, im tomen vo mi ba'od yom, v'nisgala mi she'chas she'cha, motor lachso l'chasoso." What's the diuk?
Dafka on Shabbos.
If you open it on Shabbos, you can recover it. But if you open it up on Friday, you can't recover it on Shabbos, right? You can't say, well, since it was already tumen on Friday, and right before Shabbos I took it out, I can put it back on Shabbos. Right? So, this is the last detail. If you took it off on Friday, you can't re-insulate on Shabbos. This is a machlokas rishonim, right? That's not mefurish anywhere. All the Mishnah says is lo ki sahu mibod yom loyitzan mishach shach. If you never insulate it on Friday, you can't insulate it on Shabbos. Doesn't, and then it says ki sahu v'nisgalim botel chzoso. But if it got opened, if you were mechasin, and then it came off, you can recover it. Doesn't say whether you can recover it any time, no matter when it came when the insulation came off, or only if the insulation came off on Shabbos. And that's a machlokas. Truth is, the simple pshat of the Gemara might seem like. As long as you're mechasid once and it was neskala, no matter when it was neskala, you could recover it. And that's the opinion of Tosfos and, basically Tosfos and the Rosh and the Torah, they say it depends. Tosfos and the Rosh and the Torah say, Nisgala on Friday, you can cover it on Shabbos. If you purposely took it out of the insulation on Friday, then that's mevatel, you can't put it back on Shabbos. But they would say, at least if it accidentally came off on Friday, you can put it back on Shabbos. However, it's mefurish in the Rambam, and the Yerushalmi, and a whole bunch of Rishonim, Smag, the Smag Sefer Truma, like the Mechaber Paskins here, or like the Mechaber Implies here, that only if it was Nisgala or Gila, Misha Hashecha, you can re-insulate it. But if it was Nisgala Mibod Yom or Gila Mibod Yom, then you cannot re-insulate it. So that's the truth is there are really like three sheets about this, right? The Rambam, Yerushalmi, etc. And the Machaber seems to imply it's Aser. The Tosfos and the Tor, etc. say if it was Nisgala, it's Mutter. They seem to also say, the Lashon of the Tor at least, you have the Torah here. It says, Aval Gilavo Yom Adaita Shalo Lechasoso, right? He says, Davka. What? Adaita Shalo Lechasoso. Tosos in the Torah. At least according to the Torah, Nisgala Mibodyom Mutter, Gila Mibodyom.
He has in mind that too, so that's a problem.
Adaita Dilach Soso, also Mutter, but Gilahu Mibodyom. Adaita Shalol Lechasoso Aser. So he really has, basically says Mutter, unless you uncover the Mibodyom with the intention to leave it uncovered. The Taz,
interprets Tosfos a little differently, right?
What?
I think he means to leave it uncovered permanently. What do you think he means? To leave it uncovered stam. Yeah. This is what the Taz says. Nisgale miba odyom mutter gila miba odyom asur. That's how he reads Tosfos. It's very pashut. So there are basically three shitas here. The most megal shita is the way the Torah reads Tosfos. It's only asur if you uncovered it Friday with intention to leave it uncovered. The middle sheet is the way the Taz reads Tosfos. If it accidentally got uncovered Friday, you can cover it on Shabbos. But if you purposely uncovered it Friday, then you can't. Because the purposeful uncovering plus the change of day breaks the tzeirif. The mainstream shita is the most machmir shita. We don't care about the circumstances. If when Shabbos started it was uncovered, then you're gone. It's too late. If when Shabbos started it was covered, then you're okay. That's the mainstream shita. There's one last detail in Sif Dalet, which has nothing to do with the halachas of Atmana, which is at the end here, which is pretty pashut, except the Magen Avraham gets us into a whole discussion here, which I'm not sure I understand the Magen Avraham. Maybe someone else does. At the very end of Sif Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, right, he's quoting from the Torah, he's quoting from Yishonim, it's an obvious point, that when do we say if something's covered with you can add to the covering, or take out the sheet and put on a blanket instead. The Shulchan Aruch says at the end, by the little lamed of the Baragola, the hushin is bashlak the yerkol tzarka, only if it's fully cooked. He says what I think is just an obvious point. He says, when are you allowed to add or switch to a hotter insulation or take the insulation off and put it back? When it's fully cooked. But what if you have something that's only half cooked? Then when you add more insulation, what are you doing? Forget about Hatzmana. You're doing bishul, you're making a finished cooking, and of course it's also to do bishul. You're saying, like, this is all, forget about if it's cooked already. If it's not cooked yet, of course you can't add insulation. That would be bittul. That would be bishul. There's a funny Magen Avraham here, which I'm not sure that I understand. Maybe someone else does. The Magen Avraham says, no, this can't mean kipshuto. He can't really mean that this is a case where it's just wrapped with something that's animals of hevel. Because if something's animals of hevel, it can't make it cook. So he says he must mean like the case where it's like on top of the plata, and then you're adding blankets. That's us, okay, in the case where it's mutter, which we'll see. But the Magen Avraham basically assumed that just on adding blankets that are animals of hevel cannot cause cooking. I don't understand this Magen Avraham, and Baruch Hashem, I'm not the only one. The Bir Halacha quotes all the Achronim also don't understand the Magen Avraham. Of course, covering something with blankets can cause cooking. Let's say the pot is, 210 degrees, and there's half-cooked spaghetti inside it. Then, if I cover it with a blanket, it'll keep that heat and cook the spaghetti faster. If I cover it with a sheet, it will lose its heat rapidly and cook the spaghetti much slowly, if at all. So, Einach Nami, Dorsh Animals of Heaven can add heat to something, but it can preserve the heat, and preserving the heat causes things to cook faster. So, I'm really not sure where this Magen Avraham was coming from. Pashtus is like the Bir Halacha quotes from all the Achronim that just read the Mechaber Kipshuto. The Mechaber says adding any insulation will cause things to cook, not because it adds heat, but because it keeps the heat in, which makes it cook quicker. The Magen Avraham must have a very strange, unique Shitas Yachid here, which is that by definition, keeping heat is not called cooking, only adding heat. That's a very big Kiddush. I would have thought whether you keep the heat or you add the heat. If you make something cook, you're cooking it. Magen Avraham seems to think if you just prevent something from cooling down, and that's what makes it cook, that's not called cooking. That's not called malacha. But that pashtus, so Magen Avraham has this kula. Let's say again, everyone knows this case, right? You know that, like hot things, right? The spaghetti, right? We all made this mistake when we were first married. Our wife told us to take the spaghetti off the stove after 10 minutes and rinse it with cold water. We took the spaghetti off the stove and said, I'll rinse it with cold water later. It's not important. And what happened? It all got overcooked, because it keeps cooking as long as it's in the hot water, in the hot pot. So, it's clear, and if the spaghetti would have been half-cooked, as long as we kept it in the hot pot and it didn't lose its heat, it would have kept cooking. So it's pretty clear that if we keep that pot insulated, it makes the spaghetti cook quicker. Which is why all the Achronim say, like Pshat in the Mechaber, that that's exactly what the Mechaber meant, if the spaghetti's half-cooked. You can't put blankets around it, because that makes it cook quicker, and that's called Bishul B'Shabbos, that's potentially an Isur D'Oraisa. Right? If the spaghetti's only a quarter cooked, then it's for sure an Isur D'Oraisa. The Magen Avraham seems to have a weird cheetah
that it's only considered cooking if you add heat, which makes something cook. If you just keep it from losing its heat, which makes it cook, that's like just some sort of like indirect, like less than grumma kind of cooking, and that's mutter. That's a very strange shita.
So why is Megan and Ryan plus their cleavisha?
What do you mean?
How can you do
visual cleavisha? No, sure I am. If I take spaghetti from the pantry and put it into a boiling cleavage shown off the fire, but I'm adding heat to the spaghetti, right? Because I'm putting it in the boiling water. He just said that the spaghetti was already in boiling water and was 25% cooked. And I just insulate it to keep the water boiling and make it cook more. That's not called bishul. But that's very strange. Pashas, if I do something that makes it cook, that's called bishul, regardless of, you know, of whether I'm making it cook because I'm getting it hotter or I'm making it cook because I'm keeping it hotter for longer. The Ma'agin Rama is a strange shita. Making something stay the same heat for a long time is not cooking, only making it hotter. But all the Achronim reject that. They say, no, making it cook is cooking. So just like if I add heat to something, that's bishul. If I cause it to stay hot for long enough to cook, that's also bishul. And everyone knows that if I cover something with a lot of insulation, I could cause it to stay hot long enough to get cooked. Right? I think we did that experiment at home, right? We took a pot of half-cooked spaghetti off the stove. Took two pots of half-cooked spaghetti off the stove. One of them we just left lying in the air. The other one we wrapped in all kinds of blankets and insulation. The first one might never get cooked. The second one would get cooked. So, and the Magen Avraham would say that's not considered cooking, but that's a big chash. And we don't accept that Magen Avraham. It's very mechush. Okay, so if hay gives us a new heter. The heter of klisheni, or pina mimechem lamechem. In pina kavshel, this is a mafurish gemara as well, on daf nun alf and alf also. Basically, like all the gemaras, all the interesting gemaras end up being on the very last daf. That's where the main action of Ametonin is. Because in the middle, you have a lot of mukta stuff. Ametonin, it's a very short parak, but it's chock full of material. It's a little at the very beginning, but mostly the last, like, omen and a half is the real serious hakmanah sugyas. In the middle is all kinds of mukta sugyas, which is what some of the rishonim tested about that we're not going to be doing. Basically, the question is, if you were toming in something mukta, what do you do then? How do you get it out? The chulu, tiltum, and tzad, all these things, which we're not getting into now. But that's why most of the hatmana action is at the end. So you say here, pina tavshel b'shabbos mikderish is bashel b'lekder acheres. If you pour your tavshel on Shabbos from the kli rishon into a kli sheni, mutter latmina b'davar she'eno mosif hevel. It's mutter b'matmin b'davar she'eno mosif hevel. So pina b'meichan l'meichan is mutter b'davar she'eno Mosef Hevel. Now, one of the things that we're going to have to figure out is, you know, is there any relationship between this and this? Like, is the reason Klisheni is only Mutter and Eina Mosef Hevel the same reason that Tachman on Friday is only Mutter and Eina Mosef Hevel? I'll claim in the end the answer is no, total coincidence, but we'll get back to that in a second. So, what's the nature of this Heter? Again, this is the Mefurish Gemara Nun Aleph says right here, V'chein ha'yir v'shimim gamliel omer lo asra lo oso meichem amal pina meichem lameichem butter. What's the logic? It says straight down the Gemara. Hashto kuri ka moker le artuche ka mirtach le. So the logic is, let's go by the way we paskin. We paskin. What's the isra ratman on Shabbos and davar she'ena mosef hevel? What's the reason? You can't be matman on Shabbos? What's the reason you can't be matmen on Shabbos in blankets or feathers? Gzeira Shem Yartiyah, which we interpret to mean, you might find it's not as hot as you expected, and reboil it. But if you're pouring into a klisheni, what does the Gemara say? Hashto kuri ka makerli. You are pouring into klisheni, meaning you're showing that you want it cold. So artuch ka martech, like, we're afraid you're going to come to boil it. Oh God, you're not like a schizophrenic, mentally ill person here. You're taking something, pouring into klisheni to cool it off. Then you can say, oh, it's too cold. Let me put it back on the fire to boil up again. No, if you've shown that you're interested in it being cold, then there's no chashash that you're going to want it hot. Now, I already Right? Josh, you didn't jump on me. I made too many assumptions when I just stated that sentence. Again, if I... What?
What if you change your mind?
What if I change my mind?
You discovered that it's colder than you thought it was going to be.
So, okay. So I guess the assumption is that I'll pee Rove if I was really so worried, then I wouldn't have poured into Klisheni without checking, perhaps. Meaning, why would I pour something into Klisheni normally? Because I'm not so mocked with it made so. Why would anyone pour from Klisheni into Klisheni?
Maybe you need to talk to somebody else.
On Shabbos. Pashtos, because they just don't need it so hot anymore. So if they don't need it so hot anymore, then if they don't need it so hot anymore, then it should be fine. Now, the way I sort of said it is, if you're trying davka to make it cold, then there's no gzeil. That is what the Ran says Rashi's trying to say here. That that he says, Dahashta okuri kamakerle bimiskavein. You intended to cool it off. So there is one sheet that's not so clear as what Rashi means. But the Rashi is interpreted to say, Rashi is interpreted to mean that only if you're bimiskavein to cool it off, it's much of the mountain, the cliche. But what the Shulchan Aruch said here is, in Pinat Hashem Shabbos and Gedeirah Shem Spashul Lek Deirah Cheres Motelat Mina V'Davashin Also Heavily. It doesn't depend what your intention was. That's what all the Chorin among Avram and the Shabur and everyone explains. One second. And everyone explains that Lav Davka, if you intended to cool it off. The point is you intentionally did something which would cool it off. So it doesn't really matter whether you intended to cool it off or not. Rashi doesn't mean you were miskaving to cool it off. What he means is, you miskaving did something which you knew cools it off. Right? I poured it to Klisheni. Every bardas knows that Klisheni is colder than a Kli Rishon. Therefore, we say, if I'm pouring into Klisheni, regardless of the reason I'm pouring into Klisheni, maybe the reason I'm pouring into Klisheni is like Jonathan says, I needed the pot because I... Yeah, my in-laws were coming over and they bought me this Klisheni and I want to show them I'm using it, or whatever the reason might be why I poured into the Klisheni. Lemaise, if I poured into Klisheni, it's cooler than it used to be, that's for sure. Klisheni can't be as hot as the Kli Rishon was. And therefore, if I pour into Klisheni, it's mutter. We say if I'm cooling it off, I am not going to heat it again. That's the heter. Now there's one very interesting case. What if I pour it into a Klisheni that's davka going to make it hotter? Now, that's physically impossible, Pashtus, but there's a big debate in the poskim about what kind of Klisheni is very iffy within the spirit of the law here. Even better. An ambati is a discussion, but let's assume we're not dealing with that. What type of Klisheni do you not pour it in to get colder? A thermos. Right, what about a thermos? Right, the whole point of a thermos is to keep it hotter. The whole point of a thermos is that it'll actually stay hotter in the thermos than it would in the pot. I'm not, will it stay hotter in the thermos than it would in the pot? That might depend, but at the very least, your whole intention of putting it into a thermos is to keep it, that you think this is the best way to keep it hot for the longest period of time. Probably. So what about a thermos? Now, they didn't have thermoses in the time of the Shabbos, so that was okay. I don't think they had the technology, right? You have to be able to make a vacuum to have a thermos. Otherwise, not such a good. Do you need a vacuum? Is a thermos have a vacuum or just air, Taka? Might be different kinds of thermoses. And what?
It's not a vacuum.
Oh, it's not a vacuum, just air. So anyone can have a thermos.
It's just insulated well.
Right, just insulated well. So what about a thermos? So a thermos is very controversial. The Shmir Shabbos Lechasa discussed it. The Pesukei Tshuvos have a longer discussion of it here. Yeah?
You still know it's going to be cooler than the thing you're going to
stand. It's just going to stay.
It would be cooler, it would cool slower, but it'll still be.
Right. It's so, Lemaisa, the Pesukei Tshuvos quotes, there are some posts who say it's usher to pour things into a thermos. Because a thermos is hatmana, and even though it's pinim mechim lemechim, your intention is to keep it warm. Rav Wozner, the Shevet Alevi, and other people he quotes as asher in thermos. So we have a thermos. So we have the Shevet Alevi and many others who say a thermos is... A thermos is usher, because that, you can't say, But that is basically, I shouldn't say Shichas Yachid, it's a small minority Shita. All of the most famous poskim say a thermos is mutter, the Igros Moshe, and the Tzitz Eliezer, and many other poskim, I'm just giving you the more famous names of the Shemesh Shabbos, Kochas HaPaskim's way as well, say a thermos is mutter because a klisheni is a klisheni. I'm not sure if their logic is that it's still colder, or maybe their logic just Chazal weren't goes around the klisheni. But the Maya said they make it a general rule. They make it a general rule. General rule that a klisheni is mutter even if it's a thermos. So halacha l'maaseh, you're actually allowed to take hot tea or soup or something important to a thermos on Shabbos and close up the thermos, even though not everyone agrees, but the vast majority of opinions that it's mutter, because it's still a klisheni l'maaseh. The Chazan Ish has another tzad l'hakel. He's not talking about a thermos. He's actually talking about a dud shemesh. But the Chazan Ish points out another reason why thermos is mutter. He says, if you're just pouring into the thermos, then that's not even hatmana in the first place, because the thermos is all the kli. A kli can't be considered hatmana. Oh, it's a special kli, special for hatmana, keeping things warm. Chazan Ish said, no. Chok v'lo yavor, the kli that it's in is not considered hatmana, even if they build in a whole computerized system of keeping it warm into that kli. The kli that it's in is not considered hatmana. That wouldn't apply to putting the thermos in a blanket, but at least we don't usually the thermos itself. So there are two tzedakim to say why you can pour tea or soup into a thermos, into a thermos on Shabbos. Number one, all the poskim write a klisheni is a klisheni, it's mutter, nothing to talk about. Clearly, animals pebble, that's for sure. And number two, the Chazan Ish says, even if it's a special technologically constructed kli, which is super duper hatmana, still, that's not called hatmana, because the kli your food is in is not called hatmana.
Even if, like, you heat up the thermos or something.
If you heat up the thermos?
Just to keep it even hotter.
Even if you heat up the thermos to keep it hotter, l'chora, yeah. So it would be like the Eifer Cham, I think. Although, it doesn't really work, because it's insulated both ways. You know, if you put it on top of your radiator, it still wouldn't get hot on the inside. It wouldn't help you that much.
Saying the material that's
what he says. Since even the Dud Shemesh is, like, if they have insulation around them, says that's not considered hatmana, because that's the kli. That was the original context of the Chazan Ish. He says, and if the kli is insulated, that's not hatmana. Hatmana has to be a kli and then something else. The Achronim bring another few examples of this heter, that if something is cold, if you're allowing it to cool off, then we're not machmir. We're gonna have to read something. Continued. The Achronim point out here that even if you go from Kli Rishon to Kli Sheni back to Kli Rishon, even if you pour it into Kli Sheni and then back into the Kli Rishon, even though it's not so cold, still, since you're cooling it off by the transfers, that's mutter. And they go so far as to say even a Kli Rishon Shenitztanein Ktas. The Magen Avraham says, which means Ad she'ein ha'yad soledes bo. Even if a kli rishon, you just let it get cool till it's not yad soledes bo, and that's basically the same idea as a kli sheni. Hashta purka maker lay, artuchi kamar tich lay. So if the kli rishon cools off, or if you pour it into kli sheni, or even if you pour it into kli sheni back into kli rishon, all of these are part of this heter of a purka maker lay, artuchi kamar tich lay, and these are all mutter in hatmana. There's one question which the Achronim here deal with, which actually steer between different tosfos. There's a very difficult tosfos about this in Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. I don't know if anyone was wondering about this, but maybe we'll just go with the more easy approach of Daf Lamed Tosfos and Daf Nalef and Aleph and the Achronim here. But the Achronim Shabura, they ask, how come Pina Miechel Meicham in Shehiyah Chazar is Davka an Isser, and Hatman it's Davka Heter? And they answer, they say, well, basically, the answer is obvious. In Chazara, What's usur is to do like a new hanachal achila, to take like cold new food and put it on the stove. And if you pour into klisheni, that's like new cold food. You can't put it back on the stove. But in hatmana, since exirah shem yartiach, the only thing usur is to have hot food in hatmana, because then you might plan on being martiach it. But if you have cold food, then they weren't gozer. Basically, the difference is hatmana doesn't add heat. Right? So if the food is cold, then you don't even care. And if the food is warm, you might care enough to go bring it to the stove. But chazar onto a flame does add heat. So then, if it's cold, you will care to do chitoy. But if it's there only if it's very hot, it's still a continuation of the original shehiya, then you won't want to do chitoy. So the chiluk is obvious basically over here, since you're not putting in any heat source. If you let it get cold, then you've showed that you don't care at all about how hot it is. And that's why it's mutter, as opposed to over there. If you let it get cold, then either shemi yichata, there's a big chash shemi yichata, because it's on coals, or mechzikim avashel, it's a big chash mechzikim avashel, because it's like a new kli going on the stove. The achronim write, the Magen Avraham and the Taz, that sifhei and sifvav are basically saying the same thing. There are two different lines of the Gemara, but the achronim equate them. So, we'll call it number six, but you should know the Achronim make a big equal sign between them, which is a Gemara in. Also, Daf Nun Aleph and Aleph, Amar Yehuda Shmuel, Motu Lahatmin Es Hatzonin. You're allowed to do Atmana of cold food. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says in Vav. Motu Lahatmin B'Shabbos Dover Tzonin. You're allowed to do Atmana of cold food. Now, this is not so poshut. Why are you allowed to be matmin cold food? So Rashi says, Rashi says you're allowed to insulate cold food to keep it cold. Which, okay, makes sense. That's a totally different Indian. You're keeping it cold, not keeping it hot. So Rashi says basically you're allowed to like put food in ice packs and like insulate it to keep it cold. But perhaps Rashi would say it's also to insulate cold food to get it a little warmer. Right? Or to make it less cold. But all the other Rishonim, right? That's the Mechaber here says, quoting the Rambam, the Ran, etc. Let's finish the Mechaber. Keep it from getting colder. Or in order to get out the chill. So he says, it's Mutter, Lahatmin, that's Hatzone. Again, the Magen Avraham and the Taz say, Sifim, Hay, and Vav are basically the same thing. They say, well, it's mutter to insulate cold food, and that's why it's mutter to insulate klisheni food and listening out to lettuce food, because these are all considered cold. Okay. But it's mutter to be out in cold food, even to take out the chill. Even if your intention is to make it warmer and not colder, it's still mutter. Now I'll show the science behind it. If I insulate cold food, will it get colder or warmer? Anyone?
If you take ice cream out of the freezer and wrap it in a blanket, it'll probably melt quicker.
You think so?
But also, yeah, if it's like a warm thing, like it's not. Is that the oil is held? It's not going to kickstart a reaction to actually increase heat.
We'll get back to that in a second. That's going to be not at all possible. You're making an assumption, which is very problematic. I'm not blaming your person, but you're making a very problematic assumption. Although I understand why you're tempted to make it. Anyway, Lamaisa, I'm really not sure. I always thought, the way I learned, is that if you insulate a cold food, it only stays cold. In which case, there's not even a hefi timtza of this kula of the Mechaber and the Rambam against Rashi. But it could be that I'm just not such a bucky. Let's assume, for the sake of argument, that sometimes you can insulate cold foods, and that'll actually keep them from getting cold, or take out the chill and warm them up a little. Maybe it depends on the temperature of the thing you insulate them with. That's probably it. If I insulate cold foods in a cold insulation, they'll stay cold. But if I insulate cold foods in a hot insulation, which is like a fire or something, but even in just a room temperature blankets, that might definitely make them warm because it'll like have all this heat around them, but I'm not sure.
The Haraya and fridge and freezer need constantly if the motor's going to run. In other words, if you leave it without insulating it with cold enough, it's going to
come to room temperature.
Well, then.
Yeah, but it'll cool eventually down slower if the freezer closed.
Yeah, if you leave the fridge door closed, it'll stay cold a lot longer than if you leave the fridge door open. Right? That's why, like, if you're very firm and don't use electricity on Shabbos, you learn the art of opening and closing the refrigerator door very quickly. Okay. Right. Or in the old days, when they had ice boxes, they learned that same art. Anyway, okay, I'm not exactly sure about the science of this, but nonetheless, the halacha, I think we understand that Rashi seems to think maybe this is only a heter to insulate cold foods from keeping cold, in which case, like, an obvious heter. But the Rov Rishonim, the Shud Mechaber here, right, the Baragola claims he's quoting the, he doesn't claim this particular part, okay, but the Beis Yosef quotes the Rambam, and the Rambam and others, says that it's even more to insulate cold foods to get them a little, not to heat them, but to take out the chilled, or to keep them a little warmer, because there's no problem with Gzeira Shemir Tia, because it's a cold food. You're not expecting it to be hot, so there's no Gzeira at all. That makes a lot of sense. But he ends, Avo B'davar Amosif Hevel, Afila Hat Nitzoni Gomer, Afila Od Yom Nami Yosef, B'davar Amosif Hevel, even Hatmana Sonin, even Yibod Yom, is also Usur, so it's only Mutter, B'davar She'eno Mosif Hevel. Now, here's where it gets interesting. The Bir Halacha here discusses, if you look in the Ramaskal, Afilo Hatman Tonin Gummer, the Bir Halacha says, Mehechi Tesa, how do we know that B'davar Amosif Hevel is Asr? Why is it Asr B'davar Amosif Hevel? Right? But B'davar Amosif Hevel is Asr, right? The much in Sif Hey, which number 5 we find Asr Dover Mos of Hevel. Number 6 likewise Asr Dover Mos of Hevel. And of course number 1, Mivo Jones Asr Dover Mos of Hevel. So Dover Mos of Hevel is Asr. What's considered Dover Mos of Hevel? If you remember, we had this whole discussion in the Marshal. What about something hot which doesn't create new heat? And were we Machmer or Makel on that? We were Makel. If you look in Siman Reish and Ches, in the Mechaber, you'll see the same thing. Motel aniach mivod yom kli sheish vodavar karal gabi kedera chama she'ein ze ketol me mivodavar mosav hevel. It's mutter on Friday to put a pot of cold food on top of a pot of hot food. That's not like hatman of davar mosav hevel. Why is that not like hatman of davar mosav hevel? So the Taz says, because you're just putting it on top, you're not wrapping it. But the Mishnah Berurah says that beish ein zeh ketomein v'chuli v'tonu lomar filu kisa azak tivak dira begdadim, even if you wrap them all together, v'vada ini tosef chomal dabar karal yak dira, and even if it's for sure adding heat, the hot pot is adding heat to the cold pot, filu hachi shari d'lo chashvak dira ki gefes v'domu lama sif in hevel, d'hazam u'du mosef hevel machmas atzmo, v'al kdira ein lo hevel me'atzmo, v'adra v'kol shah choma mismayit v'holeich. U'lo hachi shari. We'll stop there. We'll have to come back to it. So what does the Mishnah Berurah say? The Mishnah Berurah says that just like the Mishnah Berurah here is interpreting the Mechaber, the Shitasei, the Mishnah Berurah has gotten Chaf Dalad, yeah, I think, quoting the Marshal, that something which adds heat to your food, but doesn't add heat in and of itself, just uses up its heat, that's not Mosav Hevel. Yeah, if it's Mosav Hevel to your Kedera, that's not Mosav Hevel. It's only Mosav Hevel, so Mosav Hevel bifnei atzmo, me'atzmo. So what about, so now if we go back to where we were, the Bir Halacha, Dibur Maskel, Afilu Lahatman Tzon in Gomer V'chuli, says, Ayin B'Bir Grosh, Ehevi Amokar Mechad HaShavuz M'Ches, the Nazi Rava, Rabba L'Avdad Reish Gelusa, the Anach Kuzza, the Maim Tzon, Afuma, the Kumkuma, the Chamin. The Grosh says, how do we know you're not allowed to be toming cold things in Dover Mosav Hevel? So the Gemara in Shabbos, that's M'Ches, at least according to one pshat, where the rabbi yelled at a certain eved who put cold water on top of hot water. And he yelled at him, he says, you're not allowed to do Mosav Hevel. Right? The hot water is adding heat to the cold water. Okay, so the Gra says, how do we know that it's asr mimatmin tzonein even medavar hamosif hevel? Because you're not allowed to put cold water on top of hot water. When we call makam tzarcha teida, to lo habikam mosif hevel namish. But this is the mosif hevel namish. What did we just say? Putting cold food on top of hot food, is that called mosif hevel? We just said, by the marshal, and by the way we interpret la halacha, the siman reishon ches, that's not called mosif hevel. The yachif yom yom asr. Ve'ech pas b'shochan arach b'kam reishon ches me'ud yom mutter. Kei mukhbar grosham behed yuzlo asr ele b'shabes. Mas shalom lo mikir mosif hevel. Ela kavanim shon chomolot chom davar kar shivyu rabbanon le'in yuzak mosif hevel. The asr al kopanim b'shabes. Ve'ein zabir b'demesik al yezer v'chuli. That's exactly the same thing Mr. Brewer says. I could have read you the exact same logic from the Mishnah Berurah on Siman Reishon Ches of Chatan Beis, or from the Bir Halacha here. What the Mishnah Berurah says is a difference between the getter of Mosif Hevel between this heter and this heter. Let's just chazer for a second. This heter, we say Mosif Hevel, Machmas Atzmo. It's only called Mosif Hevel, most of the heter Machmas Atzmo. If it adds heat, if it produces heat, if it just like shears its heat but cools off as it shears its heat, that's not Mosif Hevel. But over here we say Davar Mosif Hevel is Asr even if it doesn't produce heat Machmas Atzmo, just Molid Chom in the food. So we seem to have, and that's what I was saying, why, Shmuel, that's why I accused you of making a mistake earlier, because you just naturally extrapolated from Heter 1 to Heter 5 and 6. So just like over there, if you just take a hot thing and put it around your food in the Erev Shabbos, that's your animals and heaven, okay. So through here, if you just take a hot thing and wrap it around, that should be considered okay. That should be considered animals and heaven. But apparently, the Mishnah Berurah says, is that, no, we have a chilk. Is that on Shabbos, we'd say, if it adds food to your pot, if it adds heat to your pot, that's considered Mosif Hevel and Asr. But before Shabbos, it's only Asr if it produces heat chemically in and of itself. So two different Kedarim. Why is that? So he doesn't explain the Lumbus, but I think you don't need brisker Lumbus here. Just common sense, very, very straight. Pashat Lumbus. The Chilak is obvious. Why is the Chilak obvious? Why does it make sense there should be a different Gedar of Mosif Hevel for Heter number one on Erev Shabbos and a different Gedder of Mosif Hevel on Shabbos? Why should certain things be considered Eino Mosif Hevel on Friday but be considered Mosif Hevel on Shabbos? What's the logic?
Because by Erev Shabbos it's going to cool down already. How do you know when you put it on there it's going to cool down by Shabbos? So like, you're obviously not like so intention.
Ah, so you're saying that's very, that's actually a very interesting idea. I didn't think of that. Maybe I'm not practical enough. Saying on Erev Shabbos, it'll cool down by the time Shabbos starts. Although still, it's Xerish and Yatin Remetz, and Remetz wouldn't cool down. Possibly. I was thinking just something maybe a little less practical, but very straightforward. What's the reason for the Isra Tumana on Erev Shabbos? What's the reason, the way we paskin? What's the reason for the Isra Tumana on Erev Shabbos? What's the reason? Let's review again. Right? This Isser, Asser, Lehatmin, Miba Od Yom, Bidavar Hamosif Hevel, and Asser Lehatmin, Bishabis, Bechaldavar. What's the reason for this?
Yatmin Beremetz.
Ah, Zera, Shema, Yatmin Beremetz. You might use coals. What's the reason for this? Shemir Tiyach, you might realize it doesn't meet your standards in boiling. Now I think the answer is Pasha. On Friday, what's the reason behind the Isser of Mosif Hevel? That it might be like coals. You might confuse it with coals. What items will we confuse with coals? Only items that produce heat in and of themselves. If you just have a hot things, you're not going to confuse that with coals. Coals are heat-producing substances. So on Friday, only a heat-producing substance would be confused with remnants. You're not going to just confuse, you know, if someone says, oh, here's some, like, hot blankets, put them on your clothing, put them on your pot. You're not going to confuse that with remnants. Only something which chemically produces heat will be confused with remnants. So on Erev Shabbos, only something which chemically produces heat will be confused with remnants. And therefore, only something which is mostly have machos atzmos aser. But on Shabbos, what's the chash? Chash is shema yartia, that if you want it to get hot, you might boil it to make it hotter. So then, in what case should it be aser? Anytime you're making your food hotter, it's aser because you can't say akurika makerla. You can't say you're not interested in getting hot. The iser on Shabbos is shema yartia. So therefore, it has nothing to do with whether or not it's similar to coals. It has to do with whether psychologically you are concerned that your food be hot. Therefore, anything which adds heat to your food, regardless of why it adds, I don't care if it adds heat to my food because it has chemical heat source, or it just adds heat to my food because it has a lot of heat to spare. L'maisa, anything which adds heat to my food gets me to exerish shem yartiach. Imagine, I took cold schnitzel, or better yet, cold, I took cold, cholent, and I put it in something that would make it warmer. Who cares why the cholent gets warmer? Now I have a chash that it might not get warm enough. It might not get warm enough, and I might be tempted to shem yartiach, so I'm showing that I want it to get hot. So I think the chiluk that the Mishnah Berurah ends up saying makes a lot of sense. It's coincidence. The Isser of Dover Moshe Hevel here, I'm claiming, has nothing to do with the Isser of Ena Moshe Hevel over there. Two different Isserim. On Friday, there's an Isser of substances which produce heat like remets, because you might confuse them and think you're allowed to be mountain for remets. That's only if they produce heat. On Shabbos, there's an Isser of Hatzmona whenever you're makbid on heat. Therefore, any substance which adds heat to your food, regardless of whether it produces the heat or not, is a chashash, because since you're makbid on the heat, it might lead to Shema Yartia. That's what I'm claiming is the pshat in the Mishnah Berurah's chiluk. Okay. The, let's see where we're up to. Okay, we're take 2 more minutes, just do Sif Zayin, and then we'll come back to Sif Ches, which is very halach lamaisa, next time, as well as I want to go back to the issue of crockpots, etc., which we never really... We talked a lot about Chazara and Shehiyim crockpots. We never really got a chance to discuss Rosh Shlomo Zalman Shita or anyone else's Shita on Hatmana and crockpots. So, Zion. Kol Heicha, this we've seen already a million times. This is the famous machlokas between the Rashbam and Rimi Orleans against... Trick question?
Everyone else.
Everyone else in the whole world. Right. So, Zion, he says, Kol Heicha... The Asrina and Atmana Afilu B'Gedera Mibushelis called Afilu B'Gedera Mibushelis called Sarko Asrina Afilu Mitztamek for Ralo. Right, this is the sheet of everyone in the world that even though by Shehiya there's only Xera if it was Bushel below Bushel, if it was in between, right? Raw is mutter, cooked is mutter. By Atmana there's always Xera. It doesn't matter if it's raw, half cooked, a third cooked, a quarter cooked, fully cooked inside of Ralo, inside of Yafalo. None of these Aterim apply. We do not compare Atmana to Shehiya. And therefore, we say even if it's Mushel's called Sarka, or even if it's raw, Kedem Chaitza would be the same thing. This is the sheet of all the Rishonim in the world, except for the Rashbam and the Rimi Orleans. Rimi Orleans just quoted Rashbam, that it's still Usr. What does the Ramah say? V'chein Iker. And that's for sure the Iker Pshat. Means no one actually thinks the Rashbam is right. However, V'yesh Mekilim V'omrim, D'kol Shulchai L'gamri, Nespasha called Sarka, Mutter Batamana, Kemo B'shihoi. Some people, the Rashbam, are Mekil and say that if it is totally raw, or in his pasha called tzarko, then it, just like his mutter and shehiyah, it's similarly mutter and atmanak, which is barley elsim rishon gimel for shehiyah. And therefore, what's the Ramah's hachra? He says, "Makom shenagul lahakel piece for zuin limchos biyadim aval ein lenokain bishar mikomos." He says, a place where they have a minag lahakel like the Rashbam, you can't object to them because the Rashbam is a gadol, but you have no right to say I'm going to follow that minhag in a neutral place. And it's not lechatchila. Meaning, we paskin against the Rashbam. Some place has that minhag, we don't object, but we paskin halacha l'maisa. Nowadays, no one has the minhag of the Rashbam. So nowadays, the halacha is all those makomos are gone. So the halacha is against the Rashbam. There's a funny thing here. What's funny about the Ramah? What does he quote that's not actually the way the Rashbam said it? Right, what did the Rashbam say? It's mutter even if it's? Kamach ben Josai, because we hold like Hananya, we Ashkenazim. So why is the Ramah saying Moshe called Sarko? So the Magen Avraham asked this question on the Ramah. Shani answered the Biur Halacha quotes from the Achron and Eli Rav to Sefer Shabbos that we're not going to object if people follow the Rashbam, but at least don't be maker like the Rashbam and like Hananya. You know, if you're going to follow this crazy kula of the Rashbam, at least be machmir for the Chachamim. Don't make it an even crazier kula than it is. The Ramah, even the Ramah says in the Makomos, where they're knowing like the Rashbam, they have, even the places which have the right to follow the Rashbam, only have the right to follow the Rashbam if they're machmir, if they're not adding any other kulas. They can't follow the Rashbam and Hanania, like the Rashbam himself would have said. If you have someplace they follow the Rashbam himself, you should be mocha. You should stop them. Only if you have someplace they follow the Rashbam, but at least follow the Rashbam according to the Chachamim's version, then you cannot stop them. B'di'evit also, we saw in Sif Aleph a discussion of this, b'di'evit, if someone did follow the Rashbam, then you can eat it, but not if it's a habit. You know, if someone followed the Rashbam when they weren't supposed to, like nowadays, you can eat the food, but they shouldn't make a habit of it because it's a real shitas yachid. So we're not even so happy about relying on a b'di'evit. Okay, there's a lot of very, very big halachal mice in Sif Ches, but let me just... Sorry. Let me just put what we just said, saw on the board. And then we will call it a day. This is Sif Zion. It says, according to the Rashbam, right, Kedei Rechaisa, or Mevoshel Kamachal Ben Drusai, but Lahalacha, we restrict him. We say only Kedei Rechaisa, or Mevushal called Sarko, and even that only in Makom Shenog Lahakel, but in our Makomos we have no right to be Makom that way, and even that's only just Ein Limchos B'Yadam, like you shouldn't pick a fight with people about it, but basically that heter is roundly rejected. It's considered really almost like a Shita Dechuya, a total Shita Shiacha that we don't hold like. Okay, we'll come back next time to Sif Ches. Let me just think about when the next time is. Monday is also a Rav Aaron day. I think Monday is also going to be a Rav Lichtenstein day. And then there's also Tuesday. Where are guys up to in Seder? Those who are learning Hilchos Shabbos in Seder, anyone? What?
A little behind.
Okay. So maybe we'll just, is anyone leaving like before Tuesday? When are you leaving? Now.
Monday morning.
Okay.
I will not be here either Monday.
What?
I won't be here
either. Okay, so you know what? We'll have the last shiur on Tuesday at... we'll have the last shiur on Tuesday at 5 o'clock.
5 to 7?
5 to 7. Grand finale. That way we can make sure we have time to finish everything. So we'll have the last... You know, we shouldn't actually need so long.
Extended parsha if we need it.
Yeah, we can always have a little Sudas Preda. Okay, we'll have less shiur on Tuesday, 5 o'clock. We won't have shiur Monday, we'll have Tuesday, Mirz Hashem instead. That way everyone will have a little time to prepare to finish the book hours.
Could it possibly be at the beginning of Seder to the end of Seder?
On Tuesday?
Yeah, I don't know, like, I'm personally looking at night.
We can do it at the beginning of Seder Tuesday. Okay, we'll do it Tuesday after Mincha. Fine, last year will be Tuesday after Mincha. Make sure to get all the Makoros. You can always catch up afterwards. But we're not going to go until 7. What?
Play
we'll play it by ear. Okay, the last year is on Tuesday at some point. Exactly when we will Amir Tzashem, we will Amir Tzashem explain. Parsha. Oh, Parsha, okay. Vayikra, did I talk about Vayikra last year? Yeah. And a stop. Yeah, okay. I'll tell you a nice a very cute Orachayim. The beginning of Vayikra, it says Vayikra Moshe with an Aleph Zira. So what's Pshat in the Aleph Zira? So the Medrash says that, you know, but rather sorry, I think the Rishonim say that Moshe, it says Vayikra Moshe is a big chashivas for Moshe. Hashem called, how many must Hashem call? Right? Vayikra El Moshe. So as opposed to we have Bilam, Vayikra Elokim El Bilam, right? You can call him Derechiva, he just happened upon him, kacha. So Moshe was a big unav. And even though it's supposed to be Vayikra, he didn't really want to write this Vayikra. He wanted to write Vayikar, because he didn't want to praise himself in his own Torah and show how great he was. So therefore he wrote a small Aleph, he took the liberty to write a small aleph, so as not to emphasize this by Yikra, it was really by Yikar Be'ikar. You know, he didn't want to give himself such chashivas that Hashem came and spoke to him. So the Or HaChaim connects this to a very fascinating medrash. The medrash says, V'hinei Karan or Pnei Moshe, why did Moshe have Karni Ahod? So the medrash says, where did Moshe get the Karni Ahod? Says, from the leftover ink when Hashem dictated Sefer Torah to him. So the Or HaChaim says, Hashem is Hashem. He knows how to give the right amount of ink. Why was there leftover ink? So the Or HaChaim puts the two and two together, says, Hashem gave him the exact right amount of ink for a big aleph. But Moshe was an unever wrote a small aleph. And that leftover ink gave him the kiron or panim. Basically, Moshe, right? The Chazal say, called a rodif min akavod. Kodif, rodif akrav, someone who's a real anav, ends up getting the kavod. Moshe, this leftover ink, because he didn't want to be machshav himself and say vayikra, he ended up with the kavod. If Moshe had been rodif akrav kavod and written the full aleph vayikra, then he wouldn't have gotten very much, he wouldn't have gotten this kiron or panav. They also point out that the aleph, ze'ira, is aleph, is Aramaic, for Yolah, for learning Torah, right? We have the, I don't know how many people do it nowadays, but they have the minhag to start learning Chumash from Vayikra, right? That's when you start learning Torah. So perhaps the Aleph, why Dafkan Aleph Zira, so I'll be drush, you say an Aleph Zira, the learning, in order to learn Torah, you have to be humble yourself, you have to be Zira. If you're going to learn Torah with an attitude that you think you know the answer to everything in the world, you're the greatest person in the world, then you'll never learn anything because you'll think you know everything already. If you learn with humility and realize that you have to learn from a lomay mikol adam, that you have a lot to learn and you don't know all the answers yet, and you're willing to accept things that, you know, might be not exactly what you would have thought, then you'll succeed in learning aleph Zira. If you want to succeed in Talmud Torah, then you have to be mocked in yourself as Moshe did, and maybe that's a great first word, that we start off the whole concept of learning Torah for children by Yikra, Parsh by Yikra. The standard explanation is because it has korbanos, sacrifices, because we're teaching the idea of a sacrifice. What's the idea of a sacrifice? The idea is if you want to succeed in learning Torah, has to be through sacrifice, not necessarily if you're a little kid. I mean, you have to give things up, you can't play as much ball, whatever else you wanted to do. But the main sacrifice is the Aleph Zira. You have to sacrifice yourself somewhat, because if you think that you know everything and you're not willing to be corrected, then you're never going to see them learning. If you sacrifice some of your ego and you recognize that you have to be alone and call Adam, then you'll become a chacham. There's also just one beautiful ha'orah from the Sforno. You know, the pasuk says, the second pasuk in Vayikra says, Adam ki akrib mikem korban lashem. So why can't I say Adam ki akrib korban lashem? So the Ibn Ezra's tupshatim, the pshuta, for those pshuta shamikra fans among us, the Ibn Ezra says, it means Adam mikem ki akrib korban. It's only talking about Jewish people who bring korbanos, because there might be different rules for Goyim who bring korbanos, which their taka are, there's no smicha, etc. The Ibn Ezra says a little more halachically, in his second shot, he says, or could mean ki akrib mikem, when you're makrif from your own. Which shows mitzvah v'aveira, you have to be makriv your own property, you can't be makriv gezel. But the Sforno says, adam ki akriv mikem, that ultimately the purpose of karbanos is not that Hashem needs food, not that Hashem's hungry, chas v'shalom, that he needs us, or that his ego needs to be stroked, chas v'shalom, that he needs us to bring karbanos. Ki akriv mikem, karbanos are a symbol of, or just a metaphor for our own personal hakrav, that we're makriv ourselves, we dedicate ourselves to Hashem, and we're willing to sacrifice and give up our various things in our life for Hashem, and we symbolize that through a korban. So ultimately, the very first pasuk of korbanos is telling you what the Nevi'im told us hundreds of years later, that the purpose of korbanos is not that Hashem needs our korbanos, and if we think we're being makriv an animal to Hashem, then forget it, we're being makriv ourselves. The point of korbanos is to say, ultimately, v'olvavi mishkan evne, right? It's nafshi hayikira, we're makriv ourselves to Hashem by dedicating ourselves to avodas Hashem, and that's just another reason why we have the minute that kids start learning Torah from Vayikra, because ultimately when we start off, we're telling the kids, what's the purpose of learning Torah, all these mitzvot, etc.? It's not that you're doing Hashem a favor with this, it's that the purpose of all this Torah is so that you can be madrik yourself, to sacrifice and to become an Ovid Hashem. Shabbat Shalom.
Yeah, now we can answer questions.